Please take your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians once again. And I'd like to read two passages of Scripture this morning. First, the last few lines of 2 Thessalonians that we were thinking about last Sunday. So we're at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 3, 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And a second passage from 1 Thessalonians. So turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live. Since you are standing firm in the Lord, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. You may remember that we began our series in 2 Thessalonians back in early February, in what now seems like a different world. Who can remember February? But the story behind that short letter of 2 Thessalonians is a story of Christians under pressure. And although another layer of pressure has come on us in the circumstances in which we now find ourselves, underneath the present pressures, there is an underlying antagonism that puts us under pressure. And it's not all that different to the pressure that was experienced by the Christians in Thessalonica. For a while, we may not hear much about this, but that's only because we're not hearing much about anything other than the immediate public health and economic challenges. Comment about that a little bit later on. But come back with me to Thessalonica in about AD 50. Paul was the leader of the very early Christian missionary movement, and he had been travelling with his team through some of the cities in what we would today call northern Greece. It was remarkable how, as they went from city to city, telling people about Jesus Christ, that he was the king that God had promised 1,000 years earlier in the days of King David, that God had raised him from the dead, that he is now the Lord and the Saviour that all people need. As they took this news through the towns of northern Greece, they encountered intense hostility from some in each place. In Philippi, a mob attacked them, and they were thrown into jail before being expelled from the city. Then they came to Thessalonica, where they probably spent 6 months or so. But again, there was aggressive hostility towards Paul, his companions, and their message. And again, they had to get out of town. That was the pattern. And yet, wherever they went, including Philippi and Thessalonica, there were some who welcomed the news about the Lord Jesus Christ. They got it. They turned away from their previous way of life. They gave themselves to the living and true God of whom they had now heard. They believed in, they trusted his Son. And they knew that Jesus, whom God had raised from the dead, would one day be revealed from heaven and bring God's righteous judgment when all things would be put right. And they were confidently waiting for that day. In other words, In each town that Paul's team visited, they left behind a group of what we would call Christian believers. But the hostility did not die down when the missionaries left town. And the Christians suffered from ongoing antagonism. Sometimes they were persecuted, they were abused, they were belittled, they were resented. Often they found themselves just simply hated. You see, in those early days of the Christian movement, it was hard to become a Christian. But it was also tough to stay a Christian. The pressure was on to give up. And that's why when Paul got eventually to Athens, he decided to send one of his colleagues, Timothy, back to Thessalonica to see how the new believers were going and to encourage them to stand firm and to hold fast, not to give up. And I've been suggesting that 2 Thessalonians is the letter that Timothy took with him as a word from Paul to strengthen the Christians in Thessalonica, to help them to stand firm and hold fast. And as we've worked our way through that letter, I wonder if you remember, we found a sentence that sums up the letter in chapter 2, verse 15. It was Luke Shooter who helped us think about this verse, I think, a little bit earlier on. Chapter 2, verse 15. Look back at that with me. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you. That's the gospel. That's the news about the Lord Jesus and the changed life that he brings. Hold fast to the teachings that we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth, when we were with you a few weeks ago, or by letter, this letter. Friends, in Sydney in AD 2020, this strange year we are experiencing, I want to suggest that that is a word that we need to hear. Stand firm. Hold fast. Christian believers are still under pressures of various kinds. And in recent times, it seems to me there is a quite intense pressure to think about nothing other than the present health crisis and the economic crisis, and how these things are impacting our lives. Now, of course, these are big things. And of course, we are aware, not necessarily in all the details, but certainly aware that there are a good number of us who are seriously impacted by these things. And I'm not in any way belittling that, not for one moment. But I do want to say that these things that fill the news, that fill the newspapers, that fill the news bulletins, these things are not the only things. And indeed, they're not the biggest things. Standing firm in our faith in Jesus Christ and holding fast to the truth about him is as important today as it was in Thessalonica in AD 50. Well, what happened in Thessalonica when this letter came to them by the hand of Timothy? What did Timothy find when he got to Thessalonica? Had the Christians given up? Had they lost their nerve? Had other concerns distracted them from their faith in Christ? How did they react to Timothy? Indeed, what did they now think of those missionaries who'd got them into all the trouble of being Christians in an antagonistic city? And how did they respond to Paul's letter? Well, Timothy made his way back to Paul with answers to these questions. And Timothy's news was so good, Paul was thrilled, and he immediately dictated a second letter, which has become known as 1 Thessalonians. Don't be confused by the 1 and the 2. The numbers do not refer to the order in which they were written. And I want to draw our series of Sunday mornings listening to 2 Thessalonians to a conclusion by hearing a little of what Paul had to say when he heard Timothy's report. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, and I've got four little headings. The first heading is their faith and love. Look at verse 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. What a wonderful meeting that must have been. When Timothy eventually got to the place that Paul was staying, knocked on the door, and I kind of imagine Paul throwing the door open, the two men embracing, no need for social distancing on this particular occasion, and Timothy bursting with good news. They're still trusting Christ, he said. They know who is Lord. They know he is in control. They know he is good. They know he is wise. And so in the midst of all their troubles and threats, and there's plenty of that, but there is a confidence. They're not panicking. They're not overcome by fear. And that's what Paul called the good news about your faith. And for all their many differences, they are such a diverse bunch of people, aren't they? For all their many differences, they really do love one another. They care. That, of course, is the flip side of their faith. We trust God because we know his love for us. But God's love for us moves us to love others who are loved by God. I mean, how could we not? Now, for Paul, this was like hearing the gospel all over again. That's how he puts it in verse 6, which goes literally like this. Timothy has brought the gospel of your faith and love. And far from resenting the missionaries, look again at verse 6. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. And friends, can I say, that's exactly what it's like with us. To hear about one another's faith in Christ. In the midst of troubles and threats. And to hear about believers caring for one another in these days. Why, it's like hearing the gospel all over again. And how we find ourselves longing to see one another again in the flesh. The second heading is their encouragement. Their encouragement. Notice the impact that this news had on Paul in verse 7, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 7. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. I want you to take a moment to notice the many people who have joined us this morning. Some of them are chatting to us on the side of the screen. I can't work out which side it is, but whatever side there is, there are people making comments. Please keep concentrating on the sermon and don't make too many more comments. But isn't it encouraging? Isn't it encouraging to know that the people who are with us in this strange way, to see their faith, to see that they are standing firm in the Lord. Just being with us this morning is a small sign of people standing firm in the Lord. And as we see that, it gives all of us energy. Now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. Third heading, their thankfulness. Verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 9. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? This is the wonderful thing about church. Even when we cannot meet face to face, just as Paul could not meet with the believers in Thessalonica face to face, because of you, we can't thank God enough. And a fourth heading, very briefly, their prayerfulness. Verse 10, night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Like us, really. We pray for each other, looking forward to the day when we may see you again and encourage one another face to face. Well, friends, in the strange times that we're experiencing, and whatever that is meaning for you, whatever real hardships it involves, and certainly what real hardships we're aware it involves for others, I want to encourage you this morning to just turn from those troubles for a moment. They're not everything. They're big, but they're not everything. And just focus on these four things that we've thought about. One, real faith and love. In your own heart and in the heart of your brothers and sisters. And the encouragement that is, to see others trusting Christ, to see others caring about their fellow Christians, and of course others in the community. That's something, isn't it? And therefore, thankfulness to God. It's so easy for us to be overcome with the things that cause us anxiety, that we fail to see the things we ought to be thanking God for. How can we thank God enough for his goodness towards us? Yes, there are troubles. And a couple of weeks ago, we were thinking about how we're invited by our loving God to cast our anxieties on him, to bring them to him, to express them to him, because he cares for us. But with all of our anxieties, don't allow them to distract us from God's goodness towards us. God's goodness towards us in other people. How can we thank him enough? And the fourth thing was prayerfulness. To be praying for one another, and particularly praying that the day will soon come when we can meet together face to face. I'm going to conclude by praying, and I'm going to take the words of Paul from verse 11 onwards. You can see them there where Paul turns to what is essentially a prayer. You might like to follow this with me and join me as we pray. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come together once again. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones.